Yeah, well, I think we're good.
Good morning. Today's shiur is the Zchus Yaakov Alexander ben Chana Rochel and Aaron ben Chana Rochel and Yosef ben Chana Rochel. This past week's daf was daf Yudal de Meseches Erevim. The daf actually starts from the last part of daf Yudgimel and Beis, the Mishnah over here. The Mishnah says as follows. We're discussing right now conditions of the Kaira. The Kaira which is used to be matted, the Mavoi, which is the plank which goes across the opening of the Mavoi. The mission tells us that the Kaira that we talk about has to have the width that it could hold an Ariach, a brick. The Mishnah goes to explain, the Ariach brick is half of the Levena brick. The Levena brick is a 3x3 square brick, and the Ariach is half of that. So therefore, the Ariach is a tefach and a half by three. And the Mishnah says, Daya l'koyra shetehei rechovo tefach de l'kabel Ariach. Therefore, being that the Kaira has to be wide enough to hold this Ariach, Ariach has a 1.5 tefach width. So the Mishnah says, so it comes out that the width of the Kaira that we need should be a tefach. Dai l'Kaira shetei rechovo tefach. Which the Gemara asks right away that the math doesn't work. We're saying that the brick is a tefach and a half, and the Kaira has to hold it, so the Kaira should be a tefach and a half. The Gemara right away asks that question. Tefach. The Gemara asks, tefach umechze boy. The Gemara on the top of Daf Yudal Amud Aleph, the very first piece of Gemara. The Gemara asked the obvious question: Tefach umechze boy. So the Mishnah says the Gemara answers: Kivin derochel of the kabel tefach ido chatzi tefach malben le betina mashu mahagisa mashu mahagisa. The Gemara says that once the kur itself is a tefach wide, the other half of tefach, another half of the brick is another half tefach wide, so we can situate it in a way that it won't be necessary to have more than a kaira of a tefach to support it, because we'll split that other half of tefach, chatzi etzba, on each side, and we'll put the brick right in the middle, so it'll be a little bit an etzba on each side. And we'll put some kind of cement to hold it on. If just that small amount is being left over, then it can be held up properly with the help of some cement. So that's why the Mishnah says that it has to be wide enough lekabel oriach. Rashi says shetheidoim lekfiyas livnois aleh binyan, that it has to have some kind of permanence, that we see that it's fit to build on top of it. So that's why we're dealing over here with the bricks. And then Egmore explains, to build on top of something using bricks which are a tefach and a half wide, it's sufficient that the base of that, which our kaira is not the full tefach and a half. You don't need the full amount. You know, you could save yourself a half a tefach, spread it out on each side, and that could serve as the base to build on top of it with these kind of bricks. And that's why the shear of the Kaira is sufficient to be one tefach. Now, the Mishnah contains, the Mishnah says, another condition. Aside from the width, it has to be strong enough, the material that it's made out of, or we'll see, even it has to be able to hold something which, to hold a kabel riach, to actually hold up a brick. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rechava afal pi she'ein a bria. Rabbi Huda argues on this second condition over here. And he agrees that you need the width of a tefach, but this that the Tanakhama will call them the Chachamim or the Rabbonon, right? So if you hear those names, you know, in the shiur today, that's all one sheet, the Tanakhama, Chachamim, Rabbonon. They hold that there's two conditions. You need to have a certain width, and also have to simply, it sounds like they're saying that it has to be actually able to hold up a brick. Gotta get a brick on this, even though it's wide enough, but if it's not able to hold up that brick, then it's not good. That's what Briya Kedel Kabel Reich means. That has to be strong enough. Kabel Reich. Who the argument says, no, Rechava, true, you need to be, have to have that width. Apu She'en Briya, even though it's not strong enough. And the Mishnah continues, explaining Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, Hoyse Shal Kash V'Shal Konim, if the Kora was made out of straw, reeds, things which are not strong, can't hold up a brick, we view it as if it was made out of matches, out of metal, and it is strong enough. This seems to be who the Shita in the Mishnah is. The Mishnah uses a mechanic, a lomdis of Royin, that we could still see a brick on top of it, even though today the material that's made something which can't actually hold a brick, but once it has that width, then we can still view it as a basis for a binyan. He seems to also agree that the concept of rechava, right, of that width, I think Mishnah is mashman, that you have to be able to see some kind of binyan of avanim on it, but how much do you actually need? How fit does it have to actually be to be able to put to get a binyan of bricks on it or not? See, he says no. That once it has the width, then that's sufficient for us to see this possibility of or relation to a binyan of bricks. You don't actually have to have it that it could actually hold it up. And the Chachamim seem to hold that. Yeah, you do. That's what the mission says, that there's a royim. Royim, we view it. Once we have that width, if you have the proper width, so that's already heading in directions, then it's enough for us to see, and the kara has enough of the conditions that we feel is necessary to be able to give it the kfiyas binyan that it's supposed to have. Mishnah continues. Mishnah says, Akuma, Reina Sekihi Pshuta. The mission is continuing. This case over here is a little bit different than the previous case. The previous case was that it's cash, konim, doesn't have the strength. Over here, the issue over here is not the strength. It's made out of a material which definitely could hold up a brick. The problem is that the way the kar was built, that it's akuma, it's bent, and being that it's in that way, so a brick is not going to stand on it, it'll fall off. Similar to the next case of agula. Agula, if you have a pipe going across, it's round. Right? So you can't balance a brick on it. So even though it's strong enough, definitely could hold the weight of the brick, but it can't hold the brick in actuality. So the mission says, Renes de kilo mirubas. Akuma is Renes kilo pshuta, if it's bent, we'll call it, we look at it as if it's straight. And agula, if it's rounded, we'll look at it as if it was square. And the mission continues, kol sheyesh bekeifa shloisha tfochim yesh bereichav tefach. The mirubas that the mission means over here doesn't necessarily mean square, because I'm not going to get a square out of this. But the tefach, the Mishnah says like this, if it's a pipe of a pipe, let's say, that's going on. So if it's a rounded beam, so we just have to have the shear of tefach there. So if the diameter of this circular thing is a tefach, then that's fine. That's what the roim is. Roim is that we'll see the tefach without the circular part, which is making it difficult for it to balance on. And the Mishnah gives us the formula over here that if you can't directly measure the diameter, right, let's see, it's up to you, right? So you can't get something that's against the wall. So you can get to the diameter by measuring the circumference. Then if the circumference is 3, then you know that the diameter is 1. The Rambam himself, rather than Pirush Mishnayos over here, mentions that it's not exact. And being that there's a small discrepancy over here, so that's why the Tanoim don't go into mentioning it. So the Mishnah at first glance would seem to say like this. Seems to be that the general machlokes is over here. The second condition that the Kohen needs, first condition being a certain width, tefach wide has to be. That everyone agrees to. That's called rechovo kedei lekabel ariach. Tefach wide. The second condition that the Mishnah talks about, bria, that it has to be strong enough to be mekabel ariach, which seems to imply that it has to actually be able to hold it. On that, the Mishnah goes on to give examples. And like we mentioned before, there's two categories of examples in the Mishnah. The first category is something which is missing the strength, the simple issue of bria, whether it's strong enough. Kash, konim, straw, and reeds, if it's made out of material that can't hold up the brick. And then the second category of the Mishnah, which discusses, it's not actually a problem of bria, not a problem of strong. There's a different kind of problem over here, which is causing that it won't hold up a brick. Now, I'll just mention on the side, which is something that's good to know, when we talk about holding up on the Kabbalah Riach, the Rashba brings from the Ravid, this seems to be the accepted view. If you look in Mishneh Berurah, when he explains this halacha, Mechaber brings it in of the Kabbalah Riach, so he brings this following Ravid that we're going to mention over here without any other shittas that argue on this. Ravid says the following: nearly the beginning Kore Briach El Kabbal Arichayim Kishir Kol HaKore. When talking about it, that it has to be shown to accept the brick, it doesn't mean just one brick. Right? Being that the Kore has to be able to build, to build on top of it. So it means that you have to be able to build on top of the Kore, it has to be able to be Kabbal on a Riach along the whole thing. Right? So if it's just strong enough to hold up one brick and put on a second brick, it's going to fall in. So that's not bria kelekabel ariach. The Mishnah is just using the word ariach, one brick, just for the term. But in actuality, when we're going to go build our kaira, and we're going to, we need a bria, so we're talking about it has to be strong enough that the entire width could hold up a brick, a whole row of bricks across. The only leniency that the Rashba talks about, and I believe Mishneh Berurah brings this, is that being that we in the sugya it's mevuyer, it's clear in the sugya that the kara itself doesn't necessarily have to reach one end to the other end. If you have a kara, let's say, starts from this side and it comes to the second side of the mavi within gimel tfachim, that's good. It's a concept of lovut, right? Or else from either side, right, they come within each other. The achrayim talk about, and they say for pretty much a davar pashut based on the sugya and aftes, that similarly, let's say the kara was held up from a beam in the middle of the Pesach, and cut went across, and it didn't reach either side. Here too, if it's within three tefachim of each, it's also good. We'll say love it from both sides. So in Aftes, Kipshuta is mavuri like that. So on that, the Rashi says, so therefore it should follow that if you could be missing less than three tefachim from the kara on each side, so the fact that the kara can't hold a brick over there, right, definitely shouldn't be any worse as if the kara wasn't there at all. Right? So that much he says. The Achorim talk about, you know, how many lovets could you use in the kara, right? You know, maybe you could, like, according to this, right, you know, just every little bit, theoretically,
what?
Yeah, you could have ear spaces of pochus mishlosh along the whole thing. It should be like, but as far as this halacha is concerned, you see, the Rashi himself is not ready to be makel that much. Most he's ready to be makel is just these two sides, right? So if you make the cheshbon, you know, how much of the kara is going to be good if it can't accept the bricks, it'll come out on a little bit less than six tefachim, let's say, according to this. The Rashi says in Sfarad it should be like good like that. You know, he's working with a Yerushalmi, which the Yerushalmi itself already says, like we're saying from the Rav, and the Yerushalmi doesn't, when he gives the numbers, the Yerushalmi seems to assume that you really need to cross the whole thing, and not sure about from the Yerushalmi, but it seems to be that the Tzorchin on the Yerushalmi. But in Sfarah, that much there's room to be makel based on a love. But just the point that we want to mention over here is that when you read the Mishnah, you get the picture that you're talking about one brick, but it's not really one brick. We're dealing with a full row of bricks. Okay, now getting back to the point that we want to discuss today right now is the machloikis in the Mishnah over here, the second condition, which the Mishnah calls Briya Kedei L'Kabel Ariyach. So we mentioned that at first glance, the Mishnah would seem to be that there's two applications of this idea of Briya, which is a machloikis of Behudin Rabbonim. Seems to be in the Mishnah. One who actually doesn't have the strength. And then you have another case in the Mishnah where there's a technical problem. It's a bent, the beam. That's why it's not going to hold the brick. Or it's rounded. That's why it's not going to hold the brick. But it seems to be that the Chomashit is that you have to actually be able to build something on top of it. So for whatever reason, it's not going to work. That's not going to meet this condition. And it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Royim. Says that the farm Royim will view it to be what it should be, is that's machshirit. That's Behuda Shita. Royim. Royim means we view it, right? That's the lashon of the Mishnah. Royim. Right? We could view it. We could see what we have. What we have to see. Now, I just want to bring over another piece of Gemara to include into this discussion we want to talk about. There's a braisa that the Gemara brings on Daf Yudal Omer Aleph, Tonar Abonon. The braisa starts around a quarter of the way down the Omer, where that star is, Tonar Abonon. And we want to talk about, if we follow the Braisa down, the Braisa says, Hoyu achas lemaylo v'achas lemata. The Braisa over there is discussing that if you have base kuris hamasimis, you have two kuris, right? You have two beams going across, and the reason why we're dealing with two beams is because each beam itself is not wide enough. So that's why you're using two beams. That's the issue in the braisa over here. And for our purposes, we want to talk about this case of You have these two beams, but they're not actually set up one right near the other. One's higher than the other. Alright, let's right now for our purposes, let's assume that each beam is a chati tefach, right? So together they would make the tefach. If they were together, right, they would meet the standard. But today they're like this. So this one's a half a tefach, that's one and a half a tefach. And the question is, could we mitzvah them? Could we combine them to make the shit? So that's what this, that's the mark says. Hoyu achas l'mayel achas l'mato. One was above, one was below. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, Royin es hal yoina ki'ilu hi l'mato, v'etat achtoina ki'ilu hi l'mayelam. He applies this royim concept, and he says that no problem, even though they're not sitting right one next to the other, royim will view as if they come together. Uvilvad, just this one condition: shloita yoin lemaylu mechof amo v'tachton lemata me'asor. There's just one condition over here, that the above one shouldn't be lemal mechof. That's the psul, right? In the Mishnah right away, Mobi should go mess and amma. If the Kira is 20 amas high, above 20 amas high, it's no good. So he says that this, that Aroyim will make Aroyim and will view these two half a Kiras, we'll call them, as if they're together, that's on the condition that each one is in its place where it is, it's in a mokum that was just kosher. Therefore, the above one can't be the Mal Mechof, and the below one can't be within 10 tefachim, because you know, karet, which is within 10 tefachim, is too low. That's the only condition that he has. But if the low one is not too low and the high one is not too high, the fact that there's a large space between them is no problem, and it'll be kosher. That's what he says. The Gemara continues like this. Omar Abaye now, who's Namorah, he comments on this shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, shita is Tanoim Nebraisa. And he says like this: Rabbi Yosef Yehuda sovla kavua b'chodo polga b'chodo. This sheet of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he holds like his father Rabbi Yehuda b'chodo, concerning in one point, u'polga b'chodo. However, he argues on his father in a second point. Sovla kavua b'chodo. He holds like his father in one point. Is le'royim. He holds of royim. Rabbi Yehuda, in our mission over here, which has this concept of royim in order to be a machshir. So he said that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is using the shita of his father in the Mishnah over here to be machshir, to bring these two kiras together. They're not, we don't really have the shir tefach. This is a half, that's a half. And they're not sitting together. No, but he has royim. He says royim, we can view them that they're together, and that makes it kosher. That's using the concept, this idea of royim, of his father, who in our Mishnah that the Chachamim argue on. Upolga lebechoda, and he argues in one point on his father, Dila Bihuda Sovel Mal Meyasrim is kosher. His father in the Mishnah, on that base, Bihuda's Mach Shil Mal Meyasrim, it's good. Bihuda Sovel Sechesim Mal Mechof Loi. The fact that he gives the condition that the Kaira Lamaila, the above, the higher Kaira, has to be within Chaf Amo, it's apparent that he holds that it's possible. It's no good if it's that high. Even though his father, Rabbi Yehuda, in Mishnah Bay, said it's kosher. So that's why Bai is pointing out that from the way he sets up the halacha over here, I see on the one hand he holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, in one aspect that he says Royim, but in another point he argues, because Rabbi Yehuda in this case wouldn't be concerned if the above Kaira was the Mal Mechof, because that's fine. If the whole Kaira was Mal Mechof, it's also good. That's what Abaye says over here. Now, this is a new kind of application of a Royim. What you have over here is that you have two beams. We need to see a Tefach. They're not really together. Each one's a half a Tefach. And if we could view them that they're together, so then we'd be able to add together the both half a tefach to give us the share of tefach. And Moreover here seems to say that that's based on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And again, that will be included in the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. So what we're saying over here is that at first glance, it would seem to be that we have, this is a third category of cases where the Ariach can't fit on, won't be held up over here. Three different kind of problems, which according to the Chachamim that they hold, you need Briya Kel Kabel, that the Torah has to be in such a way that it can actually hold the brick. So all these cases won't be good. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Royim, that's this idea of Royim, means that we have a view. Right? This is a halachic outlook on something, right? Which allows us to see something different than it actually is. And that's basically because the halacha doesn't require the actuality of the building. We just have to see that it's shayach. It could be somehow related to a binyan. So that's why we could, even if it doesn't actually hold it, but as long as we could somehow view it in that way, that's sufficient for our purposes over here. The idea of the Korah and the kfis that the Korah needs, that has to be royal le binyan. How much fit for binyan need? That would seem to be the question over here. Royim allows us to see it, that even though it actually can't, not going to hold a brick on it, but we could view it in a way that we could see how it is related to binyan and it'll reach the condition that we need.
Why does Rabbi Yehuda say Malam Eshim is okay?
Okay, that's a different topic right now. Right, we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it later. Many Rishonim however, tell us that not all of these three cases do the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda. The way we explained till now, which is definitely the first glance, If you were to look in the Rabbeinu Yohanneson, which is the Pirish around the Rif on Masechta, that he explains that like we're saying that there's a general machlokes over here. However, The Rosh in back of the Gemara here, Rabbeinu Osher, hey, if you look in the Rosh over here, it's maybe page 216. In the Rosh. See where the Rosh is? So in the Rosh brings the mission of Hoysa Shal Kash. See over here on the first column. In the first column in the Rosh, he brings the mission of Hoysa Shal Kash. See, if you follow down like around 5-6 lines, there's a dot in the Rosh, and he says, Kosav Ramzal. You see what that is?
Yeah.
Kosav Ramzal. He brings from the Ram, which is not the Rambam. Afagav Drabon and Pligale Dabihuda Behoysa Shalkas Bishalkonim. Even though in the Mishnah it's clear that the Rabbonim argue in that first case, when it's made out of Hoysa Shalkas, it can't actually hold it up. It can't hold up because it's too weak. But hold that gulva kuma moidu rabbonon, ta'amrinon royim. He tells us over here something interesting. This is just simple translation in the Mishnah to understand. He says that, no, don't learn that the Mishnah, that there's one big machlokes going on over here, whether you say Reim or not, and the Mishnah gives a few different kind of examples that Rabbi Yehuda will say Reim, that Rabbanan will argue. He says, no. Machlokes is only in the first category in the Mishnah, when it's Shalkash Shalkonim, it's not strong enough. It's going to put a brick on, it's going to fall right through. However, in the second category in the Mishnah, Akuma, if it's bent, or it's Agula, it's rounded, Moed Rabbanan Damrinan Royim. In this case, Rabbanan agreed that we'll say Royim. And he brings a Raya. Midiporach, from the fact that Yimora asked the question, Akuma Pshito Mishanik Mashin Rabzeirim, Alma Dohochi Hilchis, or Kibin Aslash Mina Hach Rabzeirim. Okay, we'll come back to that Raya maybe. But this is the Raya that the Ram brings, that we paskin lahalocha. We do paskin lahalocha this dinner of Akuma from the Mashmois Hagimora. And therefore we know that we paskin like the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a Raya that there must be no machlokes over, because if there was a machlokes and that's based on Rabbi Yehuda, we wouldn't paskin like that. Okay, so that's one Raya that he brings. Now, the Rosh himself brings a Raya. V'oy nearly lovi Raya l'dvorov. He's giving another Raya. But in order to understand, to see this Raya, I think we have to see the Gemara. Let's just see the Gemara over here. The point that he makes from the Gemara. If you turn to the Gemara and daf Yudal Amar Aleph, here, hold the place in the Rosh. We're going to come back. If you see, it's the second wide line of the middle-sized lines. Hoysa shel kash. Okay, you see, on Yedal Omer Aleph, Hoysa shel kash. The Gemara asks the question, Mai kamash melon, damrina noin, hainu hach. The Gemara is asking a question as follows, that the Mishnah just told us a machlokes, whether it has to be strong enough. Rabbi Yehuda says, even though width it has to be, but strength it does not have to be. Then the Mishnah says, Hoysashokas, starts giving examples. So the Gemara's questioning over here is that what are we adding with this? I mean, the Mishnah already said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's even though it's not strong enough, Royim, to say that it's good. So why is it necessary for the Mishnah to give us examples? That's the most question. My Kamash Malon, what is the Tanakh coming to tell us with these examples of Kash and Konim? Daminon Royim, that we say Royim. Well, Hai Nohach, that's the same thing as what the first part of the Mishnah tells us. Rechava Aval Pi She'ein Bria. That's the most question. Hai Nohach. That Gemara gives an answer. That Gemara gives the answer that I might have thought that Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Roim only helps if the material is such which could have the strength. For example, right, if it's a thin plate, let's say of metal, right, aluminum foil, right. So it's very thin, so it's not going to hold up a brick. But since aluminum metal is the kind of material that could. So that's what we say Royim, because the thing that's up there really has a relation to a strength of holding up. It happens to be a very thin sheet, so that's why it's not. Maybe only there you say Royim. But if it's made out of cash, made out of something which intrinsically doesn't have the ability to hold something up, so I would think that's totally divorced from the idea, from the concept of holding it up. So I can't even see a Royim on there, right? That's like making magic over here. Cash holding up a brick, cash doesn't hold a brick. So that's the chiddush over here, that even something which is a min, which really doesn't have the ability at all to hold it up, nevertheless we can say a royim. Okay, that's a side point, but what we want to see over here is that the way the Gemara deals with the question is amai kamash molon, hainuhach. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara's question is that what's added over here, we're just repeating what we mentioned before. Now the next piece of Gemara, Akuma, Reinoisakil Hipshuta. If it's curved, we view it as if it's pshuta. The Gemara asks over here a question, pshita. Pshita. It's simple. Now, we'll see in the Rosh that the Rosh over here is noting that there's a difference how the Gemara asks the question and approach. Before the question was makmash nahainu hach. Well, here the Gemara asks pshita. The Gemara could have asked the same thing, right? Hainu hach, right? We're asked over here pshita. Let's turn back now to the Rosh. The Rosh says, and it would seem to me, in addition to bring a Rai to the words of the Ram, who says that there is no machlokes in the Sefer of the Mishnah by Akum and Agula, and Rabban agree over that you say Roim. He's giving a Rai now. What's the Rai? From this, I think Mora asks, when Mora wants to ask a question on that part of the Mishnah of Kash, Hoysa Shal Kash, Mora's question is, that's how Mora words the question. Mike Mashman, what is the Tana now telling us? What's again? Hainuhach. It's the same thing as was mentioned before. So you're not saying, tell me anything new. So what's the point? Why are you saying this? That's the question. However, the Akuma, but in the case of Akuma in the Mishnah, Parech Pshita. I'm going to ask different. It doesn't ask Mike Mashman Hainuhach. I'm going to ask Pshita. It's simple. Alma, Afila Rabbonon Moidubo, Umilsa the Pshita Hilukuli Alma. The Rosh says, what I hear in the Gemara over there is that this is something which is simple. It's intrinsically simple, right? Not based on anyone. Everyone agrees with this. And that's the Gemara's question, pshita. It's simple. That means that first piece of Gemara, by kash, the Gemara couldn't ask pshita, not pshita, it's a machloikis. What's the kasha? The kasha is that, well, once you told me Rehu the shita, that you don't need bria, so it follows. So that's the kasha of Makon Hainu Hach. It's the same as before, not simple at all, right? But once we know the first step, that Rehuda holds that you don't need Bria, so then it follows. So that's the Kasha Hainohach. But over here, the Gemara asks a stronger question. The Gemara's question is Pshita, that this is simple. So the Rosh takes out of the Gemara over here, is that it would seem from over here, Gemara is asking that it's simple, that means that it's a simple halacha, that everyone agrees with it. And that's why the Gemara is asking that it's simple. And if there was a machlokes, the Gemara wouldn't ask pshita. It's not simple. Someone argues on it. So it's implied from the way the Gemara approaches this, the question over here is that this is something that everyone agrees with. Okay, and then just goes to explain why Agula, the Gemara, does use the question, one doesn't ask. When the Gemara asked by Akum, by Agula, Hasulamali, why the Gemara does go back to that, doesn't ask Pshita, even though the way he wants to say is that this is also Pshita. Okay. So we just found out over here that the Rosh brings a Ram that he agrees with Rayas from the Sugya, that the Seif of the Mishnah, there's no Machlok, it's not part of the Machlokis. The Seif of the Mishnah, which these two cases of Hoysa Kuma and Hoysa Gula, these cases the Rabbanon agree. Now, why is that so? The Rashba also says the same thing on the Mishnah. Mistavro she'elu afilo rabbonon heim. The Rashi is going on that part of Mishnah Akuma. He says mistavro that misfora, right? That these rabbonon also agree, like we say now, this dishit, and he goes to bring a raya. V'chein bagula, yeah, okay, bagula. He said that is the time of the mils. This one, what the Rashba adds over here is, but what's the explanation? What's the difference? Now, the truth is that when we spoke right away, we mentioned that the truth is these are the two different categories. The first category is the issue is bria; it's not strong enough. Right. The second category in the Mishnah, we'll call it the sefer, agula and akuma, not a problem of its strength, just happens to be the way it's formed. So this is what the Rashba, how he explains the difference. That in the first case of the Mishnah, you have something over there which really doesn't have, it's intrinsically really missing the strength, doesn't have the strength. Royim is going to say, well, look at it as if it has the strength. Okay, so that you're really giving it something which it really doesn't have. However, in the case of the Sefer, the strength is there. There's some kind of outside factor which is disrupting us from being able to use. The fact that it's bent, the fact that it's rounded. But it really lies within the makeup of this thing, the ability to hold up a brick. So he says, such a royim, the Rabbanon agree. Because you're not giving it something that it doesn't have. What you're doing is that you're viewing it without the disturbance that it has. It's a pipe, right? It's rounded. Right? It really has in it the tefach that's necessary. It happens to have an additional piece there which is making problems. So the Rabbanon agree that we could say, well, you know, view it as if it's not there. That we could do. Now the truth is that this concept, we talk ahead in the Gemara before on Daf Gimel, the idea of Kloish, Agmar mentioned such a thing, that you could say, you find such a lumdus in the Gemara, Dal, we could just view it as if it's not there. As long as there's not something that's missing that we have to put into the picture, everything is there, but there's something in addition which is making a problem. So then there is such a concept that I could view as if that disturbance is not there, and I could view and I could see what I need. So in these two cases over here, I have intrinsically what I need. There's something which is here which is disrupting the use. In actuality, I can't do that. So then that, such a royim, the Rishonim said that the Rabbanon agree with that. And therefore, very important, so that's why these Rishonim hold that the halacha, haisa akuma and agula, it's going to be kosher. And the truth is that in the Rambam, it's also, if you look in the Rambam, like the Rambam paskins like Rabbanon against Rabbi Yehuda, shokash is no good. And nevertheless, the Rambam says that these two cases of akuma and agula are kosher. So we see that there are many Rishonim who hold that there is no machlokes in the sefer of the Mishnah. Now, the Bach, Kovnesanel, which is a pirush on the Rosh, they take out of Rashi, right, which is important for us right now in the Gemara, the Rashi holds, like the original way that we went, that there's a machlokes in the sefer of the Mishnah also. Like the simple approach, the Mishnah would seem that the cases of the sefer there's also. And they're really taking this from the raya that we said, from the Rosh. If you look in Rashi, is clear that he explains the Gemara differently than the Rosh. Let's look in at Rashi. Rashi, in the Gemara, Daf Yedaled, Pshita, that the Rosh was medayik from the Gemara over here, that the Gemara asked Pshita differently from how the previous Gemara asked. The previous Gemara's question by Kash was, Maik Mashmon Hanuhach. You're repeating the same thing twice. That's the extent of the question. Now, whatever you said before, it was said. You're not adding anything. That was the question. Not pshita. And the more when the more over here by akuma, the more asks pshita. So the Rosh was back from over there. Pshita, it's simple That implies that it's a simple halacha. Everyone agrees with that. Rashi says pshita. Rashi says, listen to this Rashi. The hocha nami amrinon royim. It's pshita. You see the Rashi over here, pshita. It's like around halfway, a little more than halfway down the omud. It's you see where it's around halfway into the agoyis habach over there. You see where it is?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Pshita actually says pshita. The hocha nami amrinon royim. It's simple. That here too we would say Rahim, the Mayishno ha midrasha. How is this different than the Rasha? Yes, yeah, so from Rashi, if you hear good in the Rashi, Rashi is going out of his way to explain that the Mora's question of Pshita is not that intrinsically Pshita, without knowing anything else, Pshita, it's a simple aloha, which the Rosh had been Medayik, and therefore he learned that the Rabbanon also hold like that. Rashi explained, no, the Pshita over here, we don't mean to say that it's simple, everyone would agree with that. We mean to say, the Mayishno ho midrasha. It's pshita that you say roim over here because it's not any different than the rasha. Right? right. So Rashi's explaining Moras Kasha really as a hainohach. Right? That's how Rashi's explaining. So if Rashi explains the Gemara like that, so the Rai from the Rosh, right, is that's not what Moras is saying. And you see also from the fact that he's equating it to the Rashi, so you see from Rashi that Rashi holds that it's all one Shita. So Rashi would seem to learn the Gemara, and if this is how you learned the Gemara originally, you're right, because that's Lecher, but this Rashi seems to be telling us that there's one theme, one Machlekes in the entire Mishnah, like we started with. They're just two categories, but in both categories, as a machlekes and rabbanan, do not agree with either. And therefore, Rashi, according to Rashi Shita, he would paskin lahalocha, paskin like the rabbanan chacham tanakama against Rabbi Yehuda. So those two cases of akum and agula would not be good lahalocha because they're involved in the machlekes and rabbanan do not agree, and that's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's go one more step. Now that we already mentioned that the are shitas in Rishonim, and that's how the poskim go, la halacha, that we do make this difference, and akum and agula, everyone agrees that you say royim over there, for that kind of royim, what's necessary over there is much less, and therefore it's good. Now, let's talk about this third application, which we mentioned, the Gemara over here, Achas L'mayla V'Achas L'mata. This Gemara over here, based on Rabbi Yehuda, when you have the two kairis, each one is too narrow, each one is just a half a tefach, we need to combine them. The Gemara uses Aroyim. Now, the Gemara definitely seems to say that it's involved in the machlekes, right? The Gemara says, Sovelo Kavua, Amar Abaye, Sovelo Kavua. It holds like a Yehuda. This is included in the machlekes. That's what the Gemara says. So definitely the Gemara over here has a strong mashmois to say that whatever you held about the Mishnah, but this case is definitely a machlekes. And Rabbi Yossi is holding Sovelo Kavua. Now, if that was true, so therefore la halacha, we shouldn't be passing this din over here, right? Now, let's just speak this out. That could we ask a question on this shita, the Ram, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Rashba, that they all hold that there is no machla, and the Bona agree by akuma and agula, the Bona agree. What about this case over here? So, L'chara, we wouldn't ask any question on that, because even if we say that Rabbanu agree in the Mishnah, that's fine. You know, when you have your beam over there, which is rounded, and because of those round additions, it's making a problem, so fine. So, say, Arayim will view it as if it's not rounded. Fine, but you have over there what you need. In this case over here, they're not together. We have to see them together in order to get the full shear. So we could hear very good that even though the Rambam and these Rishayim are saying they're going to agree over there, but not here. Right? Even though this case, it's not missing the strength, But the kind of problem that you have over here is, you know, you need to move the beams. That already is something that the Rabbanim don't say Eroyim. That's maybe that's considered that something more intrinsic is missing. So we wouldn't ask any questions. We wouldn't ask any questions on the Rambam from the Gemara itself, even if we were to take out of the Gemara that there is a machlokes in this case, and malacha we don't paskin like this, because there definitely is room to explain how this case it's worse than the case of Akuma and Agula. And in truth, if we turn back to that Rosh, if you go to the Mishnah of Hoysa Shel Kash and go up a few lines, Kosav Ram, Ramzal, right? The same Ram. You see that? You see this in the Rosh? In the Rosh, over here, the Mishnah of Hoysa Shel Kash, go up three lines. The narrow line, Kosav Ramzal. Kosav Ramzal. The same Ram that we just mentioned before, who told us that the Rabbanon agreed by Akuma and Agula, he says as follows: the less hilchos of Rabbi Yisrael b'Yehuda, we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that when if the two kairos are not together, one is above, one's below, we don't pass. That's no good. Why? The sovar kavua disle royim, because he holds like his father, who holds of royim. The Gemara says, the less hilchos of kavua, and we don't paskin like him. So this. We see clearly over here, this cheshbon over here, that the Ram, even though he told us, he informed us of some news in the Mishnah itself, the sefer of the Mishnah is no machlokes, and Akuma and Agula Rabbanon agree that you say Royim. However, he says that's over there, but in this case over in the Gemara, when Achas L'Nach L'Mata, this kind of Royim is involved in the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, like the Gemara itself implies. Amar Abaye Sovla Kavua. So this case over here would go together with the Reish of the Mishnah, Kash and Konim, where there is a Machlaikis. And since in the cases where there is a Machlaikis, we paskin like the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. So just like Shel Kash Shel Konim, the Halacha is no good. So Hu Adin, Achas Lamal, Achas Lamato also won't be good, the Halacha. That's what he tells us over here.
So unlike Kash and Konim, over here you didn't add anything. Right.
You're right. See, this case, it's a different kind of problem. It's a different kind of problem. And there might have been room to make a difference. But the Ram holds that, I mean, and the Gemara seems to say it, right? So I mean, Abai and the Gemara are saying that because Abai holds the only time that the Rabbanim will say Roim is if you just want to take something away. But when you have to change the situation, that Roim and Rabbanim don't say. So it doesn't have the mila of the cases of the Sefer. Over here, you got to move the beams, right? So you're right. Over here, it doesn't have the same kind of problem as Kash. That's true. However, the Gemara seems to be saying that the Rabbanon will only say Eroyim only when you have built in everything that you need. You just got to get rid of some kind of problem, right? But if you're missing something, the two beams are not really situated where you want. You have to move the beams.
How does it appear to Akuma? Yeah? What are you doing over there?
By Akuma, so that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't want to take time right now. Right, that's a little technical in Akuma, right, to see how that works. Right, we'll have to talk about that. But that's why I was using Agula as the example, because Agula is easier to him. But Akuma is I have to talk about that. Okay, it's a little late. I just wanted to mention over here like this. However, there is another sheet in the Rishonim that the Rishonim say that just like we mentioned in the Sefer of the Mishnah, there's no machlokes and Rabbanon agree. In this case also, Achim Achmal, the Rabbanon also agree. I would also agree. Even though the Gemara seems to imply not like that, the Gemara says Sovelo Kavuo. However, the Rishonim, we will see in a minute, are not so concerned about that mashmois. First of all, in the Rambam paskins the halacha, this dinner of achas lemaila v'achas lemato. Yeah. Perek Zayin Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Chof Hei. Hoyis Achas Lamata Achas Lamaila Roi Nesal Yone Ki Lamata V'Tachton Ki Ilo Hi Lamaila. So I'm passing that that it's good. So now if Ram held that like the Gemara would seem to imply that it's included in the Machlokes, he shouldn't be passing this Halacha. So we see that the Rambam holds that this case also the Rabbanon agree, there's no machlokes, and that's why the Rambam could pass him like this. The Rashba and the Ritva also say like this. The Rambam says, the Rambam says like this: "Umistafli da bai lav dafka kavua v'loy krabon ko omar." This that Abai says sovla kavua, which definitely has the mashmois that there's a machloikis over here. The Rambam says no. This that Abai says sovla kavua lav dafka. He doesn't mean to say that it doesn't stim with rabon and shita. And he explains why he says sovla kavua. Since one, he argued on his father, so he's saying Savla Kavua, right? This does stem with his father, but not to exclude the Rabbonim. So he goes to explain why the Gemara says that, but by the Rashba and the Ritva also, and we see that the Rambam held like that also, that by them it was simple that this case also, once we accept that in the case in the other case by Akuma there's no machlokes, in this case also there's also no machlokes. The Rabbanim will say such a roim over here because you're not really missing something intrinsic in the beam itself. It's just they hold that the fact that the positioning is also considered an outside factor, and that's why the machlokes is only by kash and konim, which the beam itself is missing something. But if over here the beam is not missing anything, it's just the position, so the Rabbanim would say such a rain. So what we have over here as a conclusion to what we just learned today over here is like this, is that when we learn this mission over here, right, we're learning Mishnayos, then we see that there's a machlokes over here concerning Reim in the Mishnah, but after we saw the Gemara, that we have three shitas. The three shitas we show him over here as to where this machlokes applies. The first shita that we have over here is shitas Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonason, or Zorua. They hold that there's one machlokes going on over here, that as far as we're concerned, Yehuda always says Royim, Abban never say Royim. Therefore, in the three cases that we have between the Gemara and the Mishnah, Kash and Konim, which is the case that the beam itself doesn't have the strength to hold up the brick, in that case. In the case in the Sefer where the beam is curved, it's rounded, it can't hold up, that's why it can't hold on the brick, or because the beams are one on top of the other, there's one halach over here, one machlokes which goes through the all these cases. Yehuda will say Reim in all these cases. That's why it's good according to Yehuda. According to Abonon, they don't hold of Reim, so all these cases won't be good. And therefore, la halacha, since we pass like Abonon, according to these shitas, all these cases is no good. Then we have, let's go to the other extreme. The other extreme we have is Rambam, Rashba, Ritva, they hold that the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is limited just to that very first case in the Mishnah, kash and konim. That's when there's an intrinsic problem in the kohi itself, doesn't have the strength. That's the machlekes over here. Rabbanan say that, you know, we can't give you the strength if you don't have it. We're not going to see a royim for that. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita to say a royim. However, if we're not missing anything intrinsic, then the Rabbanan also agree that we'll be able to view it, that it has what we want. And therefore, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, Akum and Agula, Rabbanan agree, you'll say Rayim, it's kosher. And in the case of the Mora, Achas Lama, Achas Lamata, that's also, we'll say Rayim, it's also kosher, according to these Rishonim. Now, we have a middle Shita over here, which is the Shita that the Rosh brings from the Ram. Apparently, the Rosh agrees with that. He doesn't seem to argue that. That's a middle Shita over here that he holds that even though true, that we said that in the Mishnah itself, by Agula and Akuma, there's no machlekes. Rabbanan agree, and therefore Allah, those are good. However, this case, the more of Achas Mal Achas Amato, that in order to see that it's good, we have to adjust the position that the Rabbanan don't agree to such a rhyme, and that the machlekes is going to apply over that. The Gemara is mashma, kipshuto yisovolo kavuho. The Gemara is definitely mashma that's involved in the machlekes, and being that's involved in the machlekes, so since la loch we pass again back to Rabbanan, such a case is no good.
Who said that?
This last shita, this is the shita of the ram that the Rosh brings. Oh. Right, that piece a little before the Mishnah.
So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that Malam Eshim is okay?
So this is